Okay. All right, we're going to start the meeting. It is October 18th and 2014. And this is the LSB meeting for this month. Now in order, KPFA. I want to acknowledge that our sister Paula, this is the first meeting that our sister Paula Eckert is not
Urkola.
Here. Urkola is not here. And, you know, speak for us that I know we all miss her. She was a wonderful woman warrior who took on every cause that came her way that was for justice and peace. And she will be greatly missed. I know. I don't know if Kate Tanaka is not here at this time. Huh? Well, okay. Go ahead.
So she was detained and she will be here.
Okay. All right. So let's have a roll call and.
The microphone at the speaker ever.
So, I mean, at that speaker.
Yeah.
At this speaker or that one, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Good morning. So, down the roll, Alderson, I'm here. Bernstein. Bernstein is not here. Edwards Tiekert.
Here.
Edwards Tiekert is here. Fuentes.
Here.
Fuentes is here. Gans. Gans is not here. Goldmacher. Goldmacher is not here. Goen.
Here.
Goen is here. Hernandez. Hernandez is not here. He's on his way, yeah. Johnson. Johnson is not here. Coburn.
Present.
Coburn is here. Kurzweil.
Here.
Kurzweil is here. Landau. Oh, Landau could not make it. He's not here. Moore. Okay, Moore is not here. Morgan. Morgan is not here. Pritchett. Pritchett is not here. Sawyer.
Here.
Sawyer is here. Sterling.
Here.
Sterling is here. Tanaka. She's not here. Taylor Nichols.
Here.
Taylor Nichols is here. Travis.
Here.
Travis is here. Welsh.
Yep.
Welsh is here. Whipperman.
Here.
Whipperman is here. White.
Here.
White is here. Wilkinson.
I'm here.
Wilkinson is here. Withers.
Here.
Withers is here. So that's 15 present and a quorum.
Skittish about this now. Okay. The agenda. Yes.
I'll move to excuse all absent members.
Second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
Second.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
I think we approve the agenda. What?
The agenda is a debatable motion.
Okay, but I okay. Go
you
ahead.
You can't call a vote without closing debate.
Oh, okay. Thank you, dear. Go ahead, darling.
Yeah. So I had requested that a special or an additional agenda item to discuss the fund drive phone call service be added. And I did this via email, and I don't see it.
I didn't see that. I saw some. On the same one that you did the live streaming one.
Yes.
I think it's going to be part of the discussion and the general matter in the budget and the general manager's report. So that's all.
No, that's a different motion. That's a different email.
Well, but the discussion about it during the general manager's report. Is going to be, it's a structured discussion. It's not, and it's interacting with the GM as opposed to just the LSB discussing it.
Point of order?
Yeah.
If you want to make a revision to the agenda, say
make
where and how long.
Right.
Otherwise, we don't have anything to talk about.
Okay, I move that we discuss it for.
Say what it is.
Fund Drive phone service, ComNet, have a discussion about that either before or after the general manager's report for 10 minutes.
Either before or after is not something we can vote on.
Do it
after. All right. After for 15 minutes.
Is there a second? Any other revisions to the agenda? Well, all in favor of this one? Or is there a discussion? People want... Brian?
I'll amend to put it after budget approval.
Is there a second to the amendment?
Second.
The budget approval. Okay, on discussion on the amendment? Yeah? Yeah.
You know, we've got something we have to do. We are 18 days past the start of the fiscal year. And this is something we're explicitly charged with by our bylaws. It's just a higher priority. And frankly, from what I understand, the budget conversation is going to touch on the questions of the call service.
Okay, so, Janet?
Well, I agree in part, except that the budget includes that service, and so we should discuss whether to include it or, you know, issues about it before we vote on the budget.
Or during.
All right.
All right, so on the amendment. All those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Or raise your hand so I can see. Opposed? Motion carries. On the main motion, the addition, therefore, of 15 minutes to after the approval of the budget, all in favor, please signify by raising your hands. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Any other amendments to the agenda? Seeing none, is there a motion to accept?
So moved.
Okay, good. Could I have a cup of coffee?
So moved.
Ask if there's any objection to the agenda as amended.
Is there any objection to the agenda as amended? You want to sit up here and, you know, whisper in my ear? That would be a great help, actually. Is there? No. Seeing none, the agenda is approved. All right. Announcements.
No, minutes.
Oh, God.
It's okay, Kurt. It's all right.
Where's that coffee? Espresso. Karen, almost as helpful, but you should get me through.
No, this is hilarious. Okay. Minutes. And we've got two sets of minutes because Craig's computer was down last month, and so we didn't have the August minutes. Gee, I noticed that, huh? Okay. So we have before us the August minutes. Do I have a motion to approve?
Move to adopt the August as written.
And a second?
Second.
Okay. Have people had time to read them? Okay. Are there any corrections or additions to the minutes as written? Seeing none, all those in favor with adopting the August minutes, please raise your hands. Opposed, unanimously carried. Okay, now we've got the September minutes. Can I have a motion to accept? And a second? Okay. Have people had time to look at these minutes?
May I just have I have brought up several times that the North Berkeley Senior Center has some issues with chemicals that they use for whatever exterminating bugs and stuff. So I'm requesting that somebody check with them before we have our next meeting there, because this one was at that center. So
is this?
It's not about the minutes. No, it's not. Yeah, while people are looking at it, I'm just bringing that up again.
Any discussion on the minutes? Okay. Any other corrections? Yeah? Okay. Seeing no other corrections or objections, all those in favor of the minutes as corrected, please raise your hands. Opposed? Unanimous. Okay. Now we go to announcements. Jose Luis.
Just like to announce Pueblo People United for Better Life in Oakland is hiring for an executive director effective January 5th, 2015. The executive director would take place. You can apply at www.peopleunited.org.
Janet?
Yes, next Saturday there's going to be another Port of Oakland action to stop a Zim ship from being unloaded, and so people are being asked to picket there, meet at West Oakland BART at 5 a.m., and to join the text alerts for that, text JOIN, J-O-I-N, 510-346-5951. And we don't know what's going to happen, whether the ship will try to not come in or go to another port instead or whatever, but we're keeping an eye on it. 510-346-5951.
Margie?
I want... Okay, so I want to announce that the Yes on D campaign in Berkeley, which is a tax on high sugar drinks, and I urge everyone to find out about high sugar drinks. It's pretty shocking, the government's subsidy to the sugar industry and the effect that the sugar industry has had on issues of nutrition and general health in our country, impacting particularly communities of color. In any case, we have a measure on the ballot in Berkeley, Measure D, which would place a tax on high sugar drinks. And that campaign just received an infusion of cash and is hiring people to work on the Yes campaign between now and the end of the month. So if you go to the website Berkeley versus Big Soda, you can find out how to contact the campaign headquarters. And if you know anybody who's looking for a few hours work here and there for a good cause for some money, tell them to go sign up.
Any other announcements? Ramses.
Okay. This is Ramses. Looking back at the minutes from August, where last meeting I was here, I talked about the union organizing drive with the professors at California College of the Arts. So just for an update, folks voted on their union and did win. So the adjunct faculty there is now part of SEIU 1021 and a growing number of adjunct faculty organizing throughout the country and forming unions, not just with SEIU, but also other unions and associations. So just wanted to give that update in there. And recently, professors at, or faculty, I should say, they don't always consider themselves professors, but faculty at St. Mary's has gone public also, forming a union, so that's happening now.
Great. Seeing no more announcements. Public comments. Does somebody have the sheet, the sign-up sheet? So, Carol.
Thank you. I'm Carol Wolfley. I work with both the KPFA Outreach Committee and the Community Advisory Board, and I wanted to speak about the Outreach Committee during this time. Recently, I had an opportunity to make some calls out into the community asking for donors who had previously donated money to participate in the fund drive. And in looking over a lot of those papers, Quincy, you know, we had those papers with names and histories of donations in 2011, 2012, 2013. I saw a big spike during 2012. It would go like 200, 2011, 2012, 900, and then 2013 back to maybe 150. And I wondered about that, and I thought about my own interest in KPFA and how that really came alive during the Occupy movement and how many of the programmers and people were involved in the community, and people could go out where there were these large, massive actions, and you could find out on KPFA what was going on. And I think that was really important, and I think that may have been one, and I know there's probably a lot of factors in the 2012 donations, but I think that was a factor. And I know when I made those calls, you know, some people are like, well, I need to go mow my lawn right now. And my experience is that when we put our requests for donations in the context of the current political, economic, social, and environmental crisis, people are more willing to give money because they want hope. And so one of the things I think is so important as a member of the Outreach Committee, and it's why I work with the Outreach Committee, is because as we build connections with the community, we have more possibilities. And I listen to Cornel West and Naomi Klein and Bernie Sanders and, you know, many people, and we can see that Daniel Ellsberg, we can see that KPFA is going to be a target for increased repression with corporate oligarchy control. And to me, the only way to combat that is by having a broad, large-scale support. And so one of the reasons I'm here is to ask that I appreciate that Quincy is wanting to develop multimedia, interactive website, and hoping that will include expansion of the live streaming. Also, we want volunteers working in the station to be part of this and to have support for programs and programmers who are in the community, making connection with the community. And so any questions?
I think, do we have a timer?
Yeah, I wondered if somebody was going to stop me. Anyway.
Okay, so if you do it, okay. Burton is now the timer. Three minutes. Craig Williams.
Hi, my name is Craig Williams, and basically what I'd like to talk a little bit about is the idea of a developer. I've heard this, you know, mentioned numerous times at KPFA by different people, the idea that we need a developer to, you know, create projects. I think it might make more sense if we think of this as a community organizer position. And thinking about it, traditionally what a community organizer does is he does home visits to people within a community, and ideally spending anywhere from like 10 minutes to an hour with somebody. We could sort of do that with our members, with our contributors, sit down with people, talk to them about different campaigns, and you know, at the same time, talk to them about what they think about KPFA. Listen to them. Organizers, they say the most important thing you can do as an organizer is to listen. Listen. So I think that there's possibilities for doing something like this. You know, Cesar Chavez says, somebody asked him, how do you organize? And he says, you organize by you going up to someone's house, you sit down with them, you talk to them about your campaign, you try to get them involved. And then you go to the next house, you sit down with the person, you talk to them, you talk about the campaign, you try to get them involved, you try to get them to go to the meeting. And then, you know, and that's basically the tradition of community organizing. I also have a couple ideas about projects that we could do with an organizer. One is we might be able to do something with academics, teachers and professors. I know there's something like 300,000 teachers in California. There's 20,000 teachers in Alameda County alone. And we could potentially develop this group of people. I also think that what we might be able to do with that is some sort of conference. We could get together once a year with these people and they could feel like they were part of the KPFA educator community. We also send out lots of really good, we also have really good book author interviews, and we could send these out to academic people. The second group, which might be interesting, is working with unions, but doing a project, a conference with young workers. In Europe, what they do is they send people up into the Alps, and they have retreats up in the Alps where they teach young people to be responsible citizens and good trade unionists. If we did some sort of a project, a conference with young people, we could also work with unions in doing this, and this would strengthen our relationship with unions. And also this idea of home visits is something that the apprentices could possibly do. If they had that on their resume, that they had good community organizing skills, this might look good on their resume. So it's just basically food for thought, and I hope you guys, you know, give it some consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Craig. Kathy Horsley. Oops.
Great ideas from my outreach committee colleagues. I'll be very brief. I think most of you are aware of the Pacific Film Archives as an amazing resource in Berkeley. This coming Sunday, a week from tomorrow night, at 7 o'clock, the Film Archives will be presenting KPFA on the air. And I just thought very few of us would have been aware of that unless you read the archives schedule. And I think the filmmakers, Veronica Selver, Sharon Wood, Alan Snitto, and Larry Bensky, expect to be present on the stage before the showing. So that's it. Sunday the 26th at 7 o'clock.
Sarah, and I can't read your last name. Polanco.
As a Chicana, my elders, perhaps many, even many of your elders, endured racism, segregation in schools, told they couldn't speak in their native language. And many elders never even talked about it, really preferring to live their lives, raising their families without talking about it at all. But what our elders tried to shield us from still actually exists today, right? I worked for a place just a few years ago where I was actually the Spanish translator. But my bosses would find me and the maintenance guy working, and they would tell us that we were to be speaking English. We were in America. That's what we needed to do, even especially when we were in their presence. I had another boss who I was doing a side job with. We pulled over to ask for some directions, and the kid couldn't really answer us. He didn't understand the question, and she just screamed, "Speak in English. You're in America." She's like 23. You know, so it's not something I actually ever talk about, because first of all, yeah, it's kind of absurd, so I kind of play it off, but actually it's really kind of embarrassing, you know, especially as a Mexican, so it's just kind of truly sad. So this mentality is real, and it can't be fought by pretending it doesn't exist. It can't be done by making cuts to or segregating or stifling the voices, ideas of shows that are either hosted by people of color or that collectively include people of color. KPFA is a bit of a refuge, right, to celebrate cultures, right, underrepresented communities. You guys agree? No? Kinda? Or is it? So que siga la lucha.
Thank you. That concludes the public comment section. And thank you all. And now we're in the general manager's report. Just because we only have one microphone, I'm going to pass this over to Quincy. And when we get to the point, oh, we're going to get two microphones. Okay. Good. Okay. Good. There we go. That's good. All right.
I should have known better. Been doing this for years. Okay, so we're here mainly to finalize the KPFA budget for 2015. So I won't take up a lot of time with the report. I'll just do a short little update on the fall fund drive. As anticipated, coming soon after the summer pledge, this campaign has been sluggish, and it appears that we will probably not reach our goal of $680,000. We did have some bright spots in the drive, which brought in some impressive numbers, especially toward the last half of the second week, where we made about $36,000 for several days in a row. As of Friday evening, our total in the drive was $470,587. This includes the totals from our refresh call-out and our soft sell campaign, asking listeners to donate early online, 2 weeks leading up to the drive. We were, however, successful in getting early pledges on the web that totaled around $11,155. The refresh call-out team came in 2 days for 2 hours and called about 200 donors and who had last been pledging, and offered a special gift for donating to help upgrade the website. This effort's raised around $3,000. Because of their success, we've continued these calls now through the rest of the drive, because every little bit helps. Monday, we're hoping to hit $500,000, in which case we can end the drive with a big push to close as much as the gap as possible. And we plan to end on early Wednesday evening. We've learned a lot during this drive, with daily meetings on what premiums and pitches worked. This assisted us in preemption strategy to keep a slow but steady upward momentum. But we made a lot of promises to our listeners that we want to keep. So no matter if we hit the target or not, we must deliver on our obligations that the app upgrades will happen. The production on the website has begun, and I'd like to take a moment to thank all the staff for their input to the front group design team. They have been to the station several times, interviewed many, many, many people, also compiled a lot of research materials. But they also made it possible for other voices to be heard when they set up a forum, online forum, for folks to send in ideas for the website. And the response and the input has been terrific. If you haven't gotten a copy of that link, let me know, and I'll send it to you or your group. So you can still jump in. It's not too late. It's very early. The Refresh campaign has been about upgrading our tools. And I mentioned at the last month's meeting that we would invest in some computers, phones, and headsets so we can upgrade the phone room and have volunteers return for the December drive. Even with ComNet's efficiency from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., that has increased our productivity and our all-around turnaround time. After closer examination, I feel it's more cost-effective for us to just use them as a rollover service. Yay! You're welcome. Before we move on to the budget, though, there's a few things I'd like to say about our financial stability or lack of it. A few things are very real. We need extra funding from outside of our listeners' pocketbooks because they are very fatigued. I don't need the Arbitron to inform me that our listener base is not growing, and if we continue to make cuts to balance the budget, we can't make the improvements we need in programming, development, and marketing to attract new ears. We need to eliminate at least one fund drive, preferably the summer one, but right now the summer pledge drive is in the budget. And we have to come up, we have to still make some hard choices on cutting hours and layoffs. And unless things radically change, we're on a narrow path toward a dead end. Now we should move on to the budget.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, fine.
Don't point it at the speaker.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Is this on, Frank? It doesn't feel, there it is. Now it's on. Okay. Questions for Quincy on discussion? Janet.
Okay, well, two things at this point. You said that this fund drive has underperformed. Do you have any specific reasons or that you would tell us that you think that's why that happened or is happening? And is it just because of ComNet or is other issues? The other question I have, or thing I would like to raise, there was a hire of a permanent program director on October 3rd that was not announced to this body, actually. I mean, it was, and it was done the day after the national board had voted in a hiring freeze. So I wanted you to talk a little bit about that. Thank you.
All right, before you do that, are there any other people who want to ask or comment? Frank, why don't you put that into the mix, too? Frank.
Rich.
Hello. Okay, I was a little curious about a couple things that I wanted to just throw out there, and maybe you can get an answer to. One is the apprenticeship program works hard to bring affordable thank you gifts to our community. And we like to try to keep one to $25. And we're curious how to maintain a $25 gift, you know, for people that can't afford, you know, the high, you know, we've talked a lot on the board about the high price of our gifts. So we work to try to find free gifts and then we want to offer them for $25, but we're meeting resistance a lot when we try to do it. And the first one I understand could be worth a lot more. The Sharon Strand Ellison that we brought, and it was a free download. It contained an audio book, a book, and another audio thing about practices and other stuff. So we offered that for $25, and we did 35 calls for $875 in $25 donations alone. So I think some of the talk about a low price premium not bringing in money can a little bit go out the window with that we did 35 calls for $25 in our hour, and that was just the $25 calls. We did other numbers for our other premiums. So bringing back a $25 gift, we want to see if we could do that. Also, I wanted to bring up that the building anniversary is going to be October 4th in 2016, that building that we're in now. And we in the apprenticeship program have been talking about that we should honor this. It might be a fundraising opportunity. We believe it's October 4th in 2016. The building will be 25 years old of the dedication of the current site. And we want to have plans being put in the works early in January 2015 to start planning expressions of thanks, appreciation to the original donors, including but not limited to a celebration or party and creative forms on air, especially at the building. Also, a recognition to the donors shown in the entrance of the hallway. That is, I think you guys have been doing something with them, but they're the ones that helped get the building there. And a prop, let's see, some other fundraising around that meant work. And I think that's all I had for that. Also, I wanted to ask some questions about bringing back the wire service. I wait for that for the budget meeting, I guess.
Why don't you do that?
Budget part, all right, I wait for that.
Because you've got about four items already, I think.
Oh, that's my only time to get them out, I think. Also, I'm curious if there is a hiring freeze happening at KPFA, if you could, you know, put that out to us. Is there a hiring freeze happening, and when does it start, and when did it start, if it's already started? Also, I'd like you to address, I
How
think...
How much time does Frank have left?
I apologize. I didn't time questions because I assumed they would be short.
I just want to get out there. So, I'm curious about... what you've done about the Spanish translation that happened at the Movement Generation thing, because we worked hard. I've been working with them since 2014 on bringing video streaming to their events, and I'm curious of what's happened there. I understand that it was allowed to go on, but I'm curious about the pushback and why not Spanish translation, especially.
How many more items do you have?
One more.
Okay.
And I think I could save it, because I think, well, I'll just report it to you all. I reported it to Brooke that the ComNet answering service, which we're going to talk about, Thursday night, I tried to call and make a donation at around 9 o'clock and let it ring for 3 minutes the first time, 7 minutes the second time, never got an answer. So I'm curious of what you think the ComNet performance has been. I know you touched on it a little bit, but are we happy with it? It sounds like you're going back to the rollover service. So I wonder if you had other complaints about people not getting their call answered.
Okay, I just want to say that Kate Tanaka has arrived. And she's our new board member. We want to welcome Kate formally. Welcome. All right. Yes? Is this a point of order? Is this a question? No. What are you doing?
This is a point of order.
And are you timing?
Before you call, I believe that I should respond to the questions about the hiring freeze before you call on Quincy, because it was not his decision or his idea.
We'll set that question aside then, and you can have a discussion about it later. But we're in the middle of Quincy's thing, so
okay.
I think. And David, did you have a question for Quincy? We're thrilled.
I have a question about the fact that the news department, the evening news department, has apparently taken on a new wire service. So now they have both AP and Reuters as corporate wire service at a time when they're proposing other cuts. And my question is, why are they taking on a virtually identical corporate wire service when they don't need it?
Okay.
That's my first question.
Wait a minute. How many questions do you have?
I have two.
Okay, so you have a second question. All right, then Quincy's going to start.
I'm not repeating the ones that other people have already mentioned, mentioned.
Great.
And then there are rumors that this ComNet organization, now apparently there are more than one ComNet organization with the same name, so I'm not sure if this is the same one. But there are rumors that it's associated with the Tea Party interests in the state of Oregon. So I just wanted to find out if there's been any investigation about this and what the results of that investigation were.
Well, Quincy.
Okay. I'll just start backwards and just work my way around. Let's go. Okay. Frank, you still got your phone, so just in case I miss some of yours. Let's see. Let's start with the Tea Party ComNet rumor thing. I have no idea if it's true or not. And I suggest that maybe if the board wants to start doing backups or, you know, background checks on everybody we do business with, you should probably go ahead and pass a resolution to do that. But I caution you that, you know, PG&E may have some people from the Tea Party there. Should we turn off the transmitter? AT&T, should we shut down the phones? Simon & Schuster, who knows who's in Simon & Schuster? So I'm saying you're opening up a whole barrel of concern in this big data day. I mean, anybody can find anything about anybody, I guess. But I have no idea about that, and I haven't done any homework on that. I don't have time for that, actually. The Associated Press covers mostly national news and also provides a lot of California statewide news. Reuters news service covers international news, and they've been using both of them for a long time. The Reuters contract was up. We renewed it because of the loss of FSRN News and Al Jazeera. So they have that big 6 o'clock newscast that we want to keep as diverse and as California-oriented as possible, so they need those extra services, and they're not that expensive because they gave us a good deal. Okay. Frank, I like the idea about the October 4th, 2016. Jump on it. I hope you call it the refresh campaign or something, too. You can throw that in there because it kind of ties into what you're talking about doing, celebrating all that. The $25 thing, we can talk about it. I mean, it's, if you really did some $25 is definitely the limit as to what you want to do on premiums. But you got to remember, our listeners just give us whatever we ask them. We ask for $50 for a premium, they'll give us the $50 or they won't. So, you know, you want your numbers to go higher. You can raise it a little bit, or if you want to keep it low at 25, I'm fine with that. I mean, I can talk to the subscription people for you and work that out. If that's really a big problem. What else was there? There was Janet's question and your questions kind of overlapped a couple times on a couple of things. The hiring freeze is going to be handled by Margie. The Spanish translation thing. There's two sides to every story. I heard about it. I talked to Bob. I talked to Sally. I talked to Ken. Those people came in and they were kind of rude and got in Bob's face. Bob did relent and still let them in. They also called and asked for 100 free tickets, which he was not going to give them, thank God. And then he let them get in, do the translation. They were making a lot of noise up in front. Even Naomi had to point them out and say to him, would you please quiet down? So it was a disruptive evening for Bob and the gang. And for anybody to call Bob racist, I think, is just absolutely insane. I mean, I don't think Fidel Castro thought Bob was racist when he went there to help them fight. So, I mean, I just think that that's ridiculous, and that's a lot. It's a waste of time to even talk about it. Now, the hiring freeze, she's going to cover. What was your first question? Oh, ComNet. ComNet. No, you said specific reasons why. Okay.
Just also an announcement about the PD hire. Let's
do that first. Last board meeting, I was here when the board voted that the PE hire can move forward. It was already done in the budget before. So it was already set to go. I was told about it when I was hired that a PD would be hired. The hiring committee had been working for a year. They had gone through 88 candidates. They handed, right after the last board meeting, I was handed 6 candidates who I interviewed, and then I made the selection. And then the hiring freeze notice came out. So I had to talk to Margie and Raul about that, and they said, no, we can go ahead because it was already done, so we just went ahead. Well, you should have been aware because you voted for it or against it in the board meeting previous. I sent it out in the regular.
Except when I'm chewing. Okay. Or singing, right. All right, so we're chitter-chattering. Are we settled on this, or is there...
No, I didn't send it out to LSB, she said. And I sent it out to the staff, but when I sent it out, I thought it was going out to everyone. So it's my mistake.
Okay, so we're okay on this. Okay. Margie, you want to speak to the hiring freeze, or do you think it's already kind of taken care of?
Do we have another question?
Or you could do it in your report.
Right.
No, I got one more. The underperforming thing with ComNet.
Okay.
No, actually, thank goodness ComNet was still very efficient between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m., or our numbers would even be lower probably right now. They were very efficient in morning drive and afternoon drive getting, when we get a lot of calls to pick up those extra calls and stuff. So that's been very helpful. ComNet is not perfect. We have worked really hard with them almost on a daily basis on trying to make sure that the messaging was more KPFA oriented for our listeners, for them to change their wording and things using words like agent or standby, but this might be recorded and all that stuff that kind of freaks out our listeners. So, you know, we've written new scripts. We've done everything we can. We've gotten the call time down from when people do get connected. It lasts maybe about 3 minutes instead of the 6 minutes that it was previous. We've worked better on the premiums. It's been a little better of an experience, but still overall, looking at the cost, looking at what we really want to do is to try to get the volunteers back in there using computers and headphones and stuff so we don't lose a lot of productivity, because we lose a lot of money that way with just one wrong address, one wrong zip code. So hopefully we'll be able to do that and figure out a way to train some people and do the best we can with it. And then use them just purely as a rollover, because it's much cheaper for us that way too. And that's really right the reason, because we've been working with them every day through this drive and in contact with them, trying to improve the service to the best we can. So, and that, what other reason?
Oh, you can't be heard if you're...
Oh, I just think it's, like I said in my report, I just think it's straight out fatigue. I mean, there's just too many damn fund drives. You just can't keep going back to the well. And unfortunately for us, it's not like we have a lot of new listeners coming in. I must say, though, there was some good news in the reports that I saw. We had nearly 90 new listeners that signed up this time around. Actually, new people to KPFA, because we're trying to pay attention if we're bringing in some new folks. So, I mean, we've had over almost 4,000 calls, a lot of repeat people, but 90 new people. You know, we really need the calls to be up around 8,000 calls to really be cooking.
Barb.
I just want to remind people that for long fund drives, this is a pattern. It starts out slow, and we pretty nearly wrap it up every time. So I'm optimistic about the last few days, and I don't think we should be wallowing in any idea that it's underperformed. Based on history.
Brian.
Thank you. You know, I just wanted to jump on Frank's $25 premium comment. And I think there's two things to keep in mind. The goal of our fund drives is not to give shit away. It's to raise money for the station. And, you know, that's what premium prices are based on. But we actually have a problem with the IRS if we give things away too cheap in reference to their actual market value. Excuse me. The IRS considers it unrelated business income. It becomes taxable income. It could trigger an audit, which would be a nightmare for us producing the records that would be needed. And I mean, basically, the Supreme Court has ruled that when things are less than twice their normal fair market value, a nonprofit isn't fundraising, it's engaging in commerce. And that stuff's taxable. So I don't know if the phone room even knows this, but if you guys are offering two ebooks that normally sell for $25 each, for $25, that's a legal problem for the station.
Thanks, Brad. I didn't know that.
Margie.
I think. Okay, I'm not.
He's not. She's not. A,
okay, well, it's because I'm talking. I think that.
It's not.
I'm not. There it is. Okay. I think that one of the problems around the announcement of the PD hire was that Quincy did send out an announcement, but that list does not include the LSB. So there was no formal announcement to the LSB. And I think that's unfortunate, you know. And so either when announcements like that go out, either, you know, you have to actively include the LSB, or the LSB should be added to that general announce. The members of the LSB should be added to the general announce list so that you get it. Anyway, so what I am asking now is that you make a formal announcement about the PD, who the PD is, and when that person will start their job.
Testing. Okay. The new PD is Laura Privis, who's been producer extraordinaire for a very long time. There were six candidates, all of them very interesting and smart people. But I must say that what stood out about Laura to me, when I went back and looked through all the materials that the hiring committee had put together, there was a letter that everybody wrote talking about the position and what they would do with KPFA down the road. And it was interesting to me because she was one of the only people that actually really talked about social networking, website development, raising money outside of, you know, fund drives, all the things that I think are key for our success in the future. Social networking, obviously, to grow younger people, to get younger generations involved with what we're doing. You know, video on the website, all those kind of things that I was thinking about anyway. So it was interesting. Laura is very talented. She knows a lot of the players already. She understands some of the, how do you want to say? You don't want to say nonsense. You don't want to say craziness.
Culture
of the place. And she's a very, very hardworking woman. And a lot of people like her. So I think it's a good choice for us. I'm very comfortable with it. I think she's the best, and I think she's going to do a terrific job.
And when does she start?
She starts officially November, but of course I already put her to work.
Yeah. I just want to acknowledge that Mark Hernandez has arrived. Margie?
Okay, so I have a motion. I move that we invite Laura Privis to the next LSB meeting, which I think will take place on November 9th, according to my calendar, and tell her that we don't expect her to regularly attend these meetings, but we'd like to have her come, meet us, and have a conversation with the board about her job and her vision. It's November 8th. I'm sorry. Thank you. All right. That's my motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Discussion? Question is called. All those in favor of inviting Laura Privis to the next meeting, please raise your hand. Opposed? Another unanimous vote. All right. I do not see anything else here. Anybody else's hand raised for Quincy's report? Thank you, Quincy. And now we move to the budget, I believe.
Well, to the treasurer's report.
Treasurer's report. What?
I'm going to use the treasurer's report slot just to talk about this sheet that Maria passed out. It's these are the reports you see every time we have a fund drive, and this was totals as of Thursday. Chris Stellick, the data manager, printed this out on Friday, but these were totals as of the night before. So the amount pledged is higher now, as Quincy announced a little while ago. But this is just to give you the layout of what kinds of money is coming in. And if we go in that first column as straight down. Acquisitions, you'll remember, is new members. That's what Quincy was talking about, new members. And we got $102,000 out of almost $103,000 out of new members at this point. If you go follow that line across to the right, $46,225 was paid already, meaning they used a credit card. The next figure is the amount that will be coming in, however these people arrange to have the payments made. And the percentage of fulfillment will go up as those pledges are paid. Then we have, going back to the first column straight down, we've got a certain amount of money from people renewing their membership, people rejoining. I guess that means they had a hiatus in between. And the largest amount of money comes from people giving additional gifts. We've got really strong supporters in this area, and actually, I don't know where they come. Maybe they're from all over the world. Then we have some more breakdown of whether this was during an on-air pledge. Telemarketing, I'm not quite sure what that item means. Is that isn't the website?
It's probably just a data entry error.
Some category that our data manager has got there.
The refresh category, actually.
Responding.
When we started.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, the early part. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
So that's which one?
The telemarketing. It was, you know, we're going to start a fund drive next week. Help us shorten it. Call in now. So it was those people. Then plan type, you know, whether they have lump sum payments or installment plans, the electronic funds transfer, meaning every month we get, you know, the same amount automatically. Payroll plans, we're not utilizing that category. Then it shows how many people paid with credit cards or non-card, meaning send me a bill, I'll send you back a check. And then breakdown of how much was pledged where people wanted premiums, and then how much was pledged where people didn't want premiums. And then the gift size, and you'll see the largest amount of money is in the $100 to $250 range. I don't know if anybody has any questions about this. This is the kind of report that it will be interesting if you want to hang on to it, and we can have an update and see how the fulfillment rate changes. That's always a good thing to do. So. So. I think that we should go right on to the budget, unless anybody has some things they want to bring up about this.
Apparently, Craig does, yes. And I want to notice that Andrea Pritchett has arrived. Craig.
Well, I guess this is a question really for Quincy, but I'm wondering whether we do any analysis of the acquisitions, you know, if we collect any kind of, you know, subscriber demographic information, if we know anything about them?
I can answer that. We don't.
We don't. Okay. Never mind.
Okay. Seeing no more questions about this, let us move into the budget.
Is this going to be Maria or you?
It's going to be both. Okay. So Maria's passing out several documents. The first one we have here is called the cash flow. Is that the first one you passed out?
No, it's not the first one.
Okay. Well, I'm not trying to say what you'll talk about. I'm just saying what we've got.
I haven't set that one up
yet. Okay. So is the next one the budget or what?
I've got
this and this. That's what I have.
Oh, you did have another cash flow, but that's okay.
What's that?
That's a cash flow.
But no, this.
That's
Can is that the assumptions?
You must use this.
Okay. Let me just finish before I.
Okay,
so let's wait a minute. This is,
oh, okay.
Can you just pass those?
Like an
let's see, what am I missing?
I feel like I'm missing something.
Well, let's put this as B1. Since there are so many documents for this little shindig, we're going to number them, and you can all write the numbers on your copies, and they will be then, those numbers are used by our secretary when he scans things. So the first money document that we're going to put a number on is the one that we just finished talking about, the fund drive update from the data manager. So that's going to be, what is this, B? Well, yeah, B1. The one, the fund drive analysis. Detailed totals for, this is for the fall fund drive. This is from Chris Stelick. The one we just finished. The one we talked about.
B1. It's right on your copy.
Up in the right-hand corner, if you all want to do it in the same place, B1. B is in baloney. All right. What order would you like us to number these in?
Okay, so the very first one, I hope everybody has a copy. Oh, sorry.
This was the second.
I don't have a copy of that.
Okay.
Okay, good. We'll have good. Twin mics.
So the very first one that I would suggest we start with would be, it's a single page. It says fund drives at the top.
B2,
bingo.
It's the, what do you call this? The assumptions page, you all know about.
Where is it? I don't
think it looks like this one.
Okay, it looks like this.
Sorry, maybe.
What does it say at the top?
It should say assumptions.
Oh. No, okay, it doesn't. It just.
Fund drive. Fiscal KPFA budget fund drive.
It's got the numbers of days for every fund drive.
But we no, 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 up here. We can't read this. So it's.
It's a single page KPFA budget fund drives.
And in the budget template, it is the assumptions page. Okay. So this is going to be B2. You want me to write on B2?
B as in Barbara.
B as in Barb.
Okay. B3 will be the actual budget, and it's a legal-sized document. It says KPFA budget draft. On the top left corner, it has the amount of the surplus, $66,715.
Well, look at the columns.
Yeah. Okay.
The columns are by month and quarterly.
Okay. B3, right?
Yes.
Okay. Is the one that has lots of columns all together.
And it's legal size paper.
With a smaller type.
Oh, they are. The comparison.
Yeah.
I have another B word. Is it?
Save it. Just save it.
Okay. Oh, I think, do I have? Okay. I would say B4 is going to be the other one that has the same $66,715 up in the corner, but it's a much larger print.
The columns are different.
The columns are bigger. Okay. And I did this to save all of our vision, or else the print would be tiny.
This is B4.
B4.
And it's the key word on this one is comparison. This is comparing the line items to the previous years. So this is B4, right?
Right.
All right.
Okay.
But I need
okay, that's right.
What? What are
nothing.
You?
Okay, and okay, so okay. B5 will
is that the cash flow?
The cash flow. It's okay. A smaller document, and it actually says cash flow on the top lines there. Okay, then. Oh, yeah. Do I have a copy of it? Yeah.
Here's one, too.
Okay. Okay. And you are right. Sorry, Lewis, to confuse you. Barbara asked me to do a separate comparison. So this is going to be B6.
And the paper is printed this direction.
And it says comparison 10-2 to 10-17.
So what we're going to be telling you is that the budget that was emailed to all of you has continued to be worked on. More data has come from the national office, and Maria found out some things that she needed to know that changed certain items from the time that it was printed up and emailed to you. So this tells what the changes were from the emailed copy of the budget to what we are handing out today. And it with some explanations for what the changes were. And so that's it. Six? We've got six. Now, Mark? B1. Okay.
Oh, B1.
Mark at B1. Mark at B1. Okay. I'd like to say that I want you to look at the agenda for a moment, because we've changed something in the method that we're going to use to talk about this today, and that is that I've asked the secretary to put a break in the middle of this whole big thing about the budget so that people can get the explanations, ask some questions, and then everybody can go and caucus, and then we come back,
or maybe both.
We can work in both, and then come back and resume our discussion. Now,
point of personal privilege. Could we have like maybe 5 or 10 minutes before we discuss this for LSB members to look at these papers?
I think that's a great idea.
Okay. Thank you.
Would you like for me to just give a quick explanation as what it is, what you're looking at?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Which documents are?
Well, start with two. Mark, B1 was previous. It was just the fund drive thing. So this budget discussion starts with B2.
Okay, so B2 is a complete list of the whole year of fiscal year. Actually, it starts with fiscal year 2014, the July,
tail
August.
Tail end.
The tail end of 2014 and 2015 and just a little bit into 2016 of the fund drives, their goals, and their dates. And these are just preliminary dates, please, and also preliminary goals. B3 is the actual budget. And it's month to month, and then it has a quarter, and then, of course, a year to date. And I put a quick little explanation in column U as to what certain items that may have stood out. B4 is, again, the year to date column, and it compares to previous years. Just as a total year-to-date totals. B5 is the cash flow, which is a different document than the budget, and it kind of tells us where our cash position is going to be month to month. And then B6 is the document that I said Barbara asked me to do, which is a comparison of the budget you saw by email and what you're seeing today. So that's it.
Yes, David.
Where does it say here the budget for a particular program on KPFA? In other words, the amount of money spent on salaries for that program or other expenses for that program, so that we can compare how much is being spent for which program. I mean, I think that's really one of the more important things that we as an LSB need to know.
Well, actually, you're moving into the management area, you know, when you want to know about that. And the salaries are in here. They're in the budget. They are not broken down by where the people work, if that's what you're asking.
Yes. What I'm asking is how the money is distributed and how is going to determine what the program is going to look like. In other words, it's going to be a big determinant of what the program is going to look like. And I think we need to know these things. If a budget for a particular program is being cut or raised, then we need to know that as an LSB. And you're saying, well, this is the management thing over there. But I think as a local station board that has, you know, overall oversight over what's going on in the station, I think we need to know that information and be able to talk about it.
I think Maria can address this.
It is, and obviously I'm not part of the LSB, but correct me if I'm wrong, that I didn't realize that the LSB had any management over how much money goes into each show. That would be that's why you have a general manager. And we don't, you see the breakdown as administration, programming, development, and operations. But the allocation of hours and dollars, well, obviously one follows the other, is part of the general manager's discretion, or maybe not discretion, but management responsibility.
Burton.
I would appreciate being corrected if the following understanding is incorrect from the bylaws, but I understand my responsibility as a member of the board is to approve the budget, to, excuse me, pick three possible candidates for the manager and the program director, and to evaluate the performance of the people who are selected to fill those positions, but not to micromanage either the general manager, the program manager, or how the budget, once we approved, is nickel and dimed. Please correct me if that is an incorrect assumption of our responsibilities.
That's my assumption too, Brian.
So I disagree a little bit. I know we've distributed headcount reports to this board before, maybe some years back. Not how much dollars an individual person is making, but showing how many full-time equivalencies are going where. And I think we benefit from more transparency wherever we can do it. And I think it's hard for the board to weigh in on the priorities and the strategy that a budget represents when our major spending is on salaries and we don't have anything indicating what areas of the station those salaries are going towards. I mean, I think Dave's raising a fair concern.
Ramses, and also Maria has a headcount report, the report that you've asked for.
I have a report without dollars, but just a headcount report.
Okay.
And so she's going to go get it Xeroxed and passed out as B7. Ramses, and then David.
Yeah. So just on this kind of conversation opened up, and I gotta be honest, one of the things I sometimes struggle with, you know, on the LSB is kind of our relationship as a board with our management, you know, and vice versa. I just want to caution not to get off to too much of a start about, you know, what's in the bylaws, what's interpretation, you know, what's our role as the board? Should we be kind of getting into the budget a lot more and, you know, quote, micromanaging? And, you know, because I think we can go down the wrong route, but I feel like if, you know, if we have our management and there's an expectation to bring the budget to us, right, there's an expectation that the budget is fulfilling, the way they drafted it, it's going to fulfill the needs of the station. And I think if something there is not, or we have questions about it, bring it forth like that and actually attempt to work first with the folks that we've hired to do this work, right, and kind of rule out, you know, any concerns, you know, and figure and actually have an engagement about it. Because I don't want to get to a point where, like, we're reading bylaws to see what's our role, what's theirs, and so on. I personally think, as the board, we can go as far as, you know, going line by line and making changes if we want, but I don't think that's a healthy way for a board to function, right? And I serve on the board of this union here, and we do exactly this kind of thing every year, go through the budget, and I'll say, you know, as a member of that of this union, this organization, that we do have our directors of finances and management folks actually really engage with us, go through it line by line. They take our questions, you know, what are you concerned about? And we make minimal changes, right? Minimal changes, right? And if something really big comes up, we have a discussion, but we really expect the people in charge of doing that day to day to give us their input and the understanding for it so we can all be comfortable with it and then move on, right? And then move on to the next line or approve the budget. And such, right? But obviously, we do have a serious concern of something in the budget. Let's bring it up, and what that is. But, you know, that's my recommendation, and not necessarily, you know, get into this kind of tug of war. You know, who makes the decision or not? Because I don't think that's a healthy start to that.
David.
Yeah, we're charged with approving the budget, and it's not a question of micromanagement. I mean, it's a question of getting the information on which we can make a decision whether to approve the budget or not. And I think one of the most important, if not the most important, areas that we need to know is this budget is producing programming mix X or programming mix Y. We need to know what programs are getting what budget. And is that budget less than it was last time or more, and why? I mean, this is a very important consideration. We're not sitting there actually managing the station, but we are looking over what's going on, and in order to understand better what's going on, we need to have this information. I think we should have it today.
You're going to get
you're getting a
staff count report.
Mark.
David,
can you give Mark your... Yeah, thank you.
The problem with it is, as David is asking, is that you can then start picking and choosing what you're budgeting programming for at the LSB level. Any problems in terms of fundraising for programming, any problems with spending on programming, it goes in the review of the managers, whether it's the general manager or the program director. Individual programs, their budgets are not the purview of the LSB, but the handling of the overall budget for programming, production, and fundraising is.
Yeah.
Off on debating whether we're micromanaging until someone actually proposes a change to the budget. This is just a request for information.
Okay. We've got Maria's now passing around the head count.
B7.
B7.
Bingo.
Okay. And then I think that we should go to the suggestion raised by Janet earlier that we have about a 10-minute break now, which may or may not function as the break. This may be an extra break or not.
Yes,
we don't know.
Extra.
We'll assume that it's extra, but we'll see. In any case, so we are now breaking
for reading.
And also, you can whisper to each other or run out of the room and meet or, you know.
What time will I come back?
How about 10 of 1?
Okay? That's good.
Okay.